My name is Stephen. Hello. Great to see you. I'm glad you're here, and I'm excited to talk to you about God being a street fighter and the fact that he will scrap and claw and he will fight on your behalf. That is exactly what God is like. I'll tell you a little bit about me. I am a husband and father of two and a small business owner. I also work part-time here at Crossroads. Crossroads is not my first experience with religious scene. I grew up in a Baptist church in Texas and gave my heart to Jesus best I knew how at age 6. And then at age 17, I decided to follow him with everything in me, and I wanted all of my dreams and all of my hopes just to be grounded in God and who he is in my life. And that's led me to all the churchy stuff you can imagine and leading Bible studies, and I've traveled around and led music for retreats and conferences, and I was a foreign missionary for a few years and worked at churches, and I've done the whole thing. And yet, my life radically changed on January 1st of this year. And I'm going to tell you my story, but I just want to pray real quick. God, I believe that your words are life, and if you'll speak your words to the hearts of these people sitting here, you'll change their lives forever. And so I want your spirit to come and to speak your words in me and through me and to each of these hearts. And best we can in our seats, we just want to kind of open up our hearts like a flower to you and say, you can speak to me. Amen. Well, on the afternoon of January 1st, 2013, my 3-year-old daughter looked like this. There she is, pretty cute. Her name's Joy. She must have put that outfit together herself, I think. That's her favorite cat, Swift the cat. And that cat is at my sister's house in Texas where we were for the holidays. That was the afternoon. In the evening, my wife and I left my sister's house to go to our hotel. And on a little 2-lane Texas road, without anybody else around, at 65 miles an hour, we were hit head on. And this was the scene. I took that photograph, and this was our car. And we were never able to use that rearview mirror again. My daughter was now in this position. This was Joy, and it's awful to see your child in this kind of shape. And she did a lot of moaning and a lot of looking very serious. And when she went for some painful x-rays, they brought this back to us. And those joints just below the pelvis, she wasn't born with those. Those were new. Those are two breaks of her femurs on both sides. And they say, you know, big bone, a lot of pain. And so she got this cast that went from ankles to ribs. And it weighed a lot, and it made her life awkward for a while. When I took that picture, I had walked to the far side of my brother-in-law's truck with all of the mayhem behind, and the truck kind of shielded me from all that, and I just looked out at this field in front of me, just to get some alone time, and I had a little cry. And the same thoughts that go through your mind when tragedy strikes went through my mind. In spite of all of my religious stuff, I have the thoughts of maybe God doesn't care about you. Or worse yet, maybe you've done something that God isn't happy with and he's paying you back somehow. Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe all of this prayer and Bible mumbo-jumbo is just that. I wish that that was the end of our troubles. That was not the end of our troubles. That was the inauguration of 2013. But once we made the awkward journey from Dallas to Cincinnati with a girl that couldn't sit up, we got home to discover that our house had been broken into and my car was dead in the driveway. My car was fixed $700 later. Excuse me. And I came home that day with my fixed car to find that our furnace had gone out in the house. And I left the house that day. I think I might have spent a half day up here and was trying to make some calls to get the furnace together. And I came home, and I remember a friend of ours, Kelly, was there, and Kelly saw me from the kitchen, opened the front door, and she said, "You don't want to know what's happening in here." What's happening, Kelly? "You have a water leak in your kitchen." Right. And my wife and I had a conversation in the bathroom where we kind of said, at some point, coincidence goes out the window. And you start to think, does somebody have it out for me? Is somebody trying to get me? What's going on here? And we also said, what else could go wrong? And I said, well, our money. I said, our money. The next day, we learned that for our small business, we had missed a prepayment of taxes the summer before, and that we had a quarterly taxes due for our home and our business, and we're event planners, so we have to spend a lot of money up front to make the event happen, and then we get paid on the back end, so we have to put out some cash. And in a matter of 3 days, drum roll, here comes the number, in a matter of 3 days, $90,000 needed to come out of our lives. I'm not sure of the math exactly, but it ends with a zero. We were out. And again, we thought, is something after us? What is going on here? Now, you didn't know that you were coming to Bummer Weekend at Crossroads. Welcome to Bummer Weekend. I'll be your host. I'm Stephen. And this is Downer Sunday. And so I wore black. I see some of you weren't aware that this was Bummer Sunday. But, you know, we have to talk about this issue about what happens with trouble, when trouble comes into your life. We have to talk about it. Because the Bible's very clear about trouble. And we are saturated by a culture that tells us, buy the right products, make the right decisions. You can even get this at church sometimes. Make the right decisions and everything will go well for you. The Bible doesn't present that as reality at all. I always remember this verse in Job, which says, man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Here's a law of humanness. If you kick a campfire, the sparks come up. Here's another law. You're going to have trouble in your life. And no amount of money, and no amount of good planning, and no amount of morality is going to protect you from pain, because trouble's coming. So for everybody in this room, you're either in the midst of hard times right now, or hard times are just around the bend. Hate to tell you that. But I love you enough to tell you that. Because if I sat up here and said, if you just come to Jesus and pray to Jesus, everything's going to go great. You will be so disillusioned and embittered when trouble comes your way, because for a lot of us, we signed up to know Jesus, or I would like to start a relationship with God or whatever, and you start down this road and you find, did things just get harder for me? What's happening? I didn't know that. Nobody told me this is how it was going to go. I'm here to tell you that's how it's going to go. Trouble is coming. And what do we do in the midst of trouble? Well, we can either act surprised and disillusioned and our little dream of perfection crumbles around us, and our tendency is to say, I know who did this to me. God did this to me. God has it out for me, and I think he must not be good, or either he's good and I'm bad, and he's got it out for me. That is our natural tendency to go that way. Or maybe you just kick a rock and you just go, I don't believe anything's happening. I just think life sucks. And I was able to keep that thought at bay for a while, and now it's faced me. Well, I think we've been bought a bill of goods. I think both of those ideas are erroneous, and I'll tell you what I think by telling you one of the oldest stories that there is. Old story. God has angels that serve him. One of his chief angels one day said, "I don't want to serve you anymore. I want to be served." And he staged a coup to try to overthrow God. A third of the angels followed him in his overthrow attempt, and they were all together overcome and thrown out of heaven and cast down to the earth. And on the earth, their mission was then to undo any of God's deeds, to oppose God's people, and to try to thwart all of God's purposes. That's the story of the devil and demons. And some of you are looking at your watch. Oh, he said, just said demons. I wasn't expecting that this morning at all. What are we doing? Demons talk? What is this? Demons? What? I just want to say, for those of you who think, I'm very happy with this imaginary, or I shouldn't say imaginary, invisible, supernatural cast of characters called God and the angels. But this supernatural, invisible cast of characters, I can't go with that. Can't go with devil and demons. I'd say the Bible doesn't give us that choice. We believe in the whole kit and caboodle. Everything that Jesus describes. You can look at Jesus' ministry and see how much of his ministry was given to addressing the demonic forces and these powers. These things are real. The devil is real. And I got to tell you something, there's nobody that's neutral. There's no neutral ground. Jesus said, "Whoever isn't with me is against me." What? I want you to know that you have an enemy. The devil's MO is to attack people like you who would cry out to God, who would have any manner of relationship with him. His MO is to attack you, and he wants to take you out. 1 Peter 5 describes the devil this way. Ready? "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy," say my enemy.
My enemy.
And I mean that, okay? You think he's just my enemy because I'm on a church staff and stand up talking to people about the Bible. I want you to know you got a target on you. You, where you sit. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He thinks the destruction of your life would be nutritious for him. And he's like a cat. The Bible just says that he's like a cat who's sitting here lying in wait, ready to pounce. And if you're injured, all the better. If you're separated from the pack, all the better. If you're separated from God, perfect. If you don't believe that I exist, perfect. If you just think this devil demon talk is all imaginary, perfect. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me, and you're playing to the enemy's strength. Now, I found a video that I think is going to help us a little bit. It's a little video that I enjoy, a little YouTube clip of a dad who's taking his son to the zoo, and dad's going to be surprised at what he sees at the zoo. Now, it goes by quick, so I just want to set you up for the first thing dad says, which is, he says it just like this, "Oh, look, it's a tiger. He's coming to talk to us." All right, watch this.
"It's a tiger. He's coming to talk to you."
Yeah. No, he's not.
"Look, Justice, he's coming over here to talk. Look, Justice, look. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Huh?
Oh, no. Oh, dear God, no."
I love that guy. If I had time, we'd run that clip 3 times. I love it. It gets more enjoyable each time. So this dude is looking at, by the way, it's not a tiger, that's a leopard, okay? It's a leopard. And the other news I would like to share with dad is, that's a leopard. That's the other news. Because we like to think of, when we go to the zoo, you like to think of him behind those wires, and it's like a little cartoon of a cat. It's not a real cat. It's not a real leopard. It's just kind of a cartoon. And he's just going to frolic around and go, cat, row, cat, cat, cat. And when a squirrel walks by, you think, what, is he going to, like a Disney movie, he's going to jump on his shoulder and be like comic relief jokes? But when the squirrel walks by, the leopard thinks like a leopard and thinks, snack, I will eat this squirrel now. Sorry, squirrel lovers. That's the law of the jungle right there. That's what happens right there with a leopard. Now, I love that. I really do love that. The fact is that you and I think of the devil in very cartoony terms. Because we grew up watching Bugs Bunny. And so you think that all the devil wants to do is stand on your shoulder and says, have another beer. Well, you know? You think that all the devil wants to do is kind of get you into a little bit of mischief. Don't be nice, be rude. You know, that's it. I just want you to know that kind of mischief thing, that isn't anywhere on the devil's agenda for you. He's a leopard, and he's crouching, and he sees you as potential prey, lunch, and he wants to devour you. And there's nothing cute or friendly about the whole enterprise. And when somebody near us gets devoured by the enemy, suddenly we're going, oh God, no, oh God, what's happening here? As if we're surprised. And the news that I want to tell you is that you were born into a war. Bummer Sunday, I know it. Just hang with me here. You were born into a war. And the sides of this war are really clean. It's really clear. You've got on one side the devil who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And on the other side, you've got Jesus. Jesus illustrated this conflict really clearly in John 10:10. And he says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full or to the uttermost. This is the nature of Jesus, that he comes that you might have life. Can you see the brilliance in the tactics of the enemy, that he would make you think, one, that he doesn't exist, and two, that when trouble comes, your natural inclination is to blame the one who could help you? Can you see that? That would be very shrewd and dastardly? Yes. God is the only one who can help you when all your money's gone and the furnace is out and your kid's crying at night and there's broken legs. You got nowhere else to go. There's no amount of insurance that's going to help you. There's no amount of cleverness. Hey, I got a degree. Does that help me? That doesn't do anything for me. We do the American thing a lot when we come into troubled times. We just want to be distracted. Is there a new season of something on Netflix I could just watch? Does Breyers have a new flavor of ice cream that I could investigate? Is there a shirt online that I could go buy? A great shirt. I need a great shirt. Somebody get me some clothes that are going to just change it for me. That's the American way of dealing with pain, and it's not real. It doesn't help. If the best thing that you can do is get more medication, the higher dosage for what's happening in your life, you're not really dealing with the war that's at your front door. And these thoughts that come into your brain because the devil wants to control your mind, they're real. And they didn't come from nowhere. My wife and I learned three little easy steps I'm going to share with you about what to do when you're in times of pain. One, we learned that we can resist the devil. There's a verse in James that simply says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, how do you do that? Well, you could just talk to him. Let me quote Jesus. Jesus, very spiritual person, as you might imagine. He knows a lot of stuff. He's the Son of God. And here's the way he talked to the devil. Really complicated. You might want to write this down. He would say things to the devil like, shut up. That's a Bible quote. He would also say things like, stop. And he would also say, leave. This is the way that Jesus talked to the devil. You and I are going to have to get to a place where we're willing to speak into the air, because these forces are not visible. Might feel a little crazy. I get it. And say, shut up, stop, and leave. And just speak. The same way you'd speak a prayer and God can hear you. Speak to these forces. And you might say, our money keeps draining away no matter how hard we try to build up some kind of savings. Our money just goes and goes and goes. Something weird is happening here. Stop. Leave. You demonic forces that are trying to steal life from us, just stop. And the second thing that you can do is stop helping the devil. Stop helping him. So not believing that he doesn't exist, that's helpful to him. Stop that. Believing that God isn't interested in you and won't reach out his hand to help you, that's helpful to the devil. Stop that. There's a Bible word that describes this stopping of helping of the devil, and it's called repentance. It just means, God, change my ways and my thoughts so that they don't lead to my own destruction. They lead to your kingdom coming. And God's kingdom is about giving you life to the full. Did you hear me when I told you that? Some of us are afraid that if you want to follow God and give your life to him fully, that if he gets a hold of my life, he's going to cause more destruction and panic. You are bananas if you think that. I'm sorry. That's not what God's like at all. And I want to correct that thought of yours right here and tell you, for somebody whose God has seen through the crucible of life, I want you to know something. Here comes the good news. He is good. He is always good. He has a heart of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in love. His heart is always for you. He always wants to save, never to punish. He just has a heart that extends toward you. Isaiah describes God as seeing us as if we are bruised reeds, you know, that are just about to fail. And he goes, no, 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 hold on. Wait. The other picture we have in Isaiah is of a candle that's about to be snuffed out. It's a smoldering wick. And he goes, hold on. And he just has the tenderest little care for us. Now hold on there. Now no, don't give up now. Hold on. This is the heart of God, good toward us. Help, compassion, to be a healer. Jesus said, I've come for those who are sick. If you need help, I'm the one. So we decided that we would stop helping the devil and kind of engage in the battle in a couple of ways. And as we kind of tried to build up our own faith, we do have faith, but at times we felt crazy for having faith. And we would talk about it. Are we bonkers? Are we crazy? And we go like, now hold on. What we can't do is decide whether something's reality based on our circumstances. Because our circumstances change all the time. Were you awake yesterday? Did you look out the window and you saw sunshine at about noon? And you thought, God is good. What a lovely day. And you step outside about 3 o'clock and you go, storms. God is bad. He's mad with us. Right? That's what we do in our lives. We just go, it's a good day. I think God likes me today. It's going good. I didn't get the deal. I think God hates me. What? God's character doesn't change because of your circumstances. We're in a war. So in war, you have good days and bad days. So be it. That doesn't change the character of God. So we wanted to kind of keep reminding ourselves of these truths. So in spite of the fact that the doctors, for instance, told us, oh yeah, your daughter's bones were set incorrectly. So not only were they not set correctly this way, they're also twisted, you know, all the wrong way. Mm. And in spite of the fact that at no point did the doctors give us medication that helped my daughter's pain. Awesome. Kept trying everything, and they made her sick, and great. It's great. Thank you, medicine. She's great. What we decided to do was we wanted to build up our faith in spite of what we were seeing and dealing with. So we just wrote these words out of the book of Matthew on the side of her cast, the lame walk. And we just wanted to keep bringing God's heart to bear in spite of what our circumstance was. So I keep saying over my daughter, the lame walk. And you could have walked by my house and go, your daughter's not walking. And I'd have said, no duh, dude. But I'm trying to bring God's word to bear here because I'm not going to let the circumstances color the way that I feel about God's promises over my family. And we're going to continue to press in because we're at war. That conversation that I had in the bathroom with my wife, we decided that night we're going to start fasting and praying. And we're going to ask our friends to get into this fight with us because we are at war. And guys, food was one of the things going well in my life at that point. And we just decided, well, we're in war times. You have to forego some creature comforts. So let's get serious here. Come on. Let's face this battle that's at our front door. And so we started praying. And we just started crying out to God, crying out to God, crying out to God. Which is the third thing that you can do, by the way. You can cry out to your Savior. This is hard for us to do for some reason. Hard for us to cry out to God. We think we're clever, or we think that this is all mumbo jumbo to kind of speak out into the air and ask God to be with us, to come. But guys, Jesus' name is the Savior of the world. His very character and nature is to save people. Matter of fact, if you're not in trouble, in some kind of trouble, you're not a candidate to have a relationship with Jesus. Because he saves and rescues people. And if you don't need rescuing, you don't really have anything to talk about with Jesus. Because he's a rescuer. That makes me a good candidate. I need rescue. Great. And he says to me, let's talk. This is what I do. I grew up in the 80s, so I always think of course, tag team wrestling, WWF. Of course. Can I get an amen? Anybody there with me? WWF? Okay, so I think of Hulk Hogan on the mat in a tag team match. He's getting pummeled by Mr. Perfect and the Genius. He's getting pummeled, and over there, and he's, you know, they're dropping elbows and whatever they do, suplexes to him, and he's kind of working his way, trying to get a tag to the Ultimate Warrior, who's over here on the side, and he's doing this, you know, and he's shaking the things and going, come on, come on, and he's reaching out his hand to Hulk, and Hulk is almost able to tag him in, whoa, but they pull him back, and they beat him up a little bit more. And with his last ounce of strength, he's able to just fend them off and just get the tag, just the tag. Of course, before the Ultimate Warrior jumps in, he needs to do a big, oh yeah, here we go. And everybody goes bananas. And then he jumps in and he goes crazy. And Hulk has an amazing resuscitation. And he jumps back together. And then they just beat up the bad guys, etc. I think of that picture with us because we're there getting pummeled on the mat, and here's God, the Ultimate Warrior with his face paint on and all this stuff. He's a street fighter. He's like, tag me in. Tag me in. You get me in that ring, I'm going to destroy the one who would attack you. I think it's Zechariah 2:8. God says, the one who would attack you would attack my most prized possession, and I will raise my fist and crush him. That's how God feels about rescuing us. And God's going, just tag me in, baby, bring me in, come on. And we're going like, no, I think I got it. I'm all right. I know, my dad has cancer. They say 6 months to live. I think we got it. What? Do you think you're strong or something? You're not strong. You need a rescuer. You need a savior. Oh, I think we're pretty smart. We'll figure it out. I know what they've diagnosed our kid with. We'll figure it out. We'll go to enough doctors. We'll figure it out. What? You need rescuing. You need a savior. See, some of us believe this kind of Christian thought that's been trotted around a little bit, that when we talk about Jesus as the savior, we just think about saving me from my sins, which means that when I die, I don't have to pay the ultimate penalty for my sins and I get to go to heaven and be with Jesus. That's part of the picture, but that's just a fraction of what Jesus promises for us. So I've created a little chart for you I think will help you. This is a pie graph. So, yes, there's a saving of sins, but I want you to get real saved. I want you to get real saved. And I don't want you to just be saved from your sins. The Greek word, when it says that Jesus saves, it doesn't just mean save from sins. It also means delivered. He delivers from the enemy. That means he'll fight all of your battles for you. And it also means, get ready for this one, he will heal you of all your diseases. And you go, you just lost me. Oh, shoot. Now we're talking about healing from diseases. Shoot. Because you are saying, I don't think that's possible. I've never seen that, number one. And number two, I know people who have cried out to God and they prayed for years, and dad still died. Let me just say this about that pie graph. There's a Bible word for that thing, the fact that Jesus saves, heals, and delivers. It's called the gospel. That's the gospel. Not just that he would save us in the sweet by and by when we die, but that we would know the goodness of God here, now, in the land of the living. Now. And that he would defend us from our enemies and heal us from diseases. And for those of you who have seen people fall on the battlefield, here's what I have to say. We're at war. And there are casualties in this war. And what about people who cry out and don't see God's deliverance in the moment? You know what I say about those people? War heroes. That's what I say. They're war heroes. And we honor them. And I'm going to keep fighting. It's not going to stop me from fighting because I've seen too many great stories of people getting delivered and people getting healed. It happens every week in my life. I see it all the time. I have a friend who this year in April, he had three strokes. He's 42, two little boys, three strokes. And I was there in the hospital as he lost all the feeling on his left side. He lost his vision. He lost the ability to swallow. And he completely lost his balance, of course. He was unthinkable that he would get up and walk. And Brad started going through these steps, resisting the devil, saying, is there any way that I'm helping him out? Actually, in Brad's case, I'll tell you, God put his finger on something in Brad's heart, and he said, you know when you were into the New Age a while ago? A lot of those books are still in your house, and I don't like them. They're helping the devil out. Get them out of your house. So I, with some buddies, went and we found those books and we burned them. And then we went to the hospital and we laid hands on Brad and started praying for him and crying out to God. The bleeding in Brad's brain stopped. His symptoms began to reverse themselves. The doctors said, well, we're now out of our territory. We don't know what's happening here. Thanks. You're only so much help to us. We'll take it from here. Thank you. And Brad was here last night praying for people right there. He stood right there last night. We have seen in the last few months, we've seen broken ankles completely healed on the spot. We have seen a guy whose half of his heart was dead and he's been wearing a pacemaker for the last 5 years. Laid hands on him, prayed for him. He about passed out. And he had said, I need a seat. I was there. And he said, I think something happened. He went for his regular checkup about 6 weeks later. And the doctor said, I've never seen this before, okay, but your heart has come back to life. And this pacemaker isn't keeping you alive anymore. Don't know what to say. I do. He cried out to the one who can save people, who can save and heal and deliver us. Let me just tell you the end of my story. The end of my story is that as we cried out to God, we saw all manner of good things start to come toward us. You know, we thank God for where the wreck happened, because my family, I live in Cincinnati. My family's far away, and yet my family was a mile and a half from where we were. And because it was Christmas, my whole family was together. So they just all came out to the scene, and they helped us, hospital, all that stuff. And we were in Dallas, where my wife's family is too. And we were just surrounded by love and kindness and patience during that time. We had friends who heard about the wreck and said, we're going to take care of your travel from Dallas back to Cincinnati. When we got home, we had a group of friends that said, we're just going to cover all your meals for you for the next 3 months. Don't worry about it. I see Jody sitting right there as one of those people. And we thought, is God coming near to us? Is this what the sound of the cavalry feels like when God comes near? I was here at Crossroads one day, and a woman walked up to me that I did not know. If you're here, bless you. I didn't know this woman. She said, I don't know what's happening with you, but God tells me that you need this. And she said, I have $500 for you. And I went like this. Is that all? Is this drug money? I don't care where it came from. Just put it right there. We'll take it. We had another friend give us $1,000. Said, like, God's put it on my heart. We had friends that came to our house and just prayed around the perimeter of our property and said, the devil's not allowed here. They just walked around our property, laid hands on our house, said, devil, get out of here. All of your attacks are a big no. We've seen God come forward in my daughter's life. See, the devil attacked the wrong family. He made missteps in attacking us. Because what happened is that we were driven so close to God in the midst of all of these problems. Thanks, devil. Thanks. A couple of broken legs, some sleepless nights to be driven close to the heart of God. Come on. And my daughter now understands, she's growing in an understanding of the battle that we live in the reality of these supernatural forces. So we love the story when she would cry through the night, and she would ask my wife and I to come sleep on her couch because she couldn't sleep, and, you know, we're exhausted, you know. And so we would kind of take turns. It's your night to kind of deal with her. I got to get some sleep. And it was my wife's night, and Joy said, Mom, will you please sleep on the couch tonight? And Dora said, Babe, I just can't. I am just out of gas. My tank is on empty, and I got to go lay down and get some sleep. Just pray. Just cry out to God. And Joy said, that's okay, Mommy. God will sleep on my couch tonight. Like, oh, snap. The light bulb is coming on for my daughter. She knows that she's at war, and I just believe that our children are going to be warriors for the rest of their lives. And they're never going to have that kind of weird pride about not calling out to God or whatever. That's going to be a part of the way that they live their lives. And then in those late nights, I hope to forget this, but my daughter would cry. We could hear her crying in the next room. My legs, Daddy, my legs, my legs. We'd look at each other and go like, what can you possibly do? What is my magic bullet? I'll tell you, my magic bullet was the kind of fourth thing that you can do in times of trouble. It's It's a great weapon. You can just worship. And I feel like the Bible says that there's something special about a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise, which would say, sacrifice of praise is kind of like, my life and my circumstances would suggest to me that you're not present or that you don't care. But I don't believe those circumstances. And I worship you because you are God and you're still good right now in the midst of my trouble. So I remember going in 2-3 at night, pick up my daughter with her 50-pound cast, which digs into my belly while I'm holding her, and I'm going, I love you, this hurts. And I'm carrying her around, just pacing her room while she's crying and moaning on my shoulder, and I would sing the song, put on the garments of praise, for a spirit of heaviness, let the oil of gladness flow down from your throne. God, we really need your gladness right now. Put on the garments of praise, for a spirit of heaviness, your joy is my strength alone. My strength alone. Your joy, God, we could use your joy. Please give us your joy. Let these dry and broken bones rise to dance again. Wet this dry and thirsty land with a river. Lord, our eyes are fixed on you, and we are waiting. Just say that over and over, God. We're waiting for your garments of praise, while we praise your name. And we would sing to him over and over, God, you are good. Lord, you are good. You are good to me. I cry out. I just don't want to put my faith in my circumstances. My faith is in a good God, whose heart is always toward me. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, says Isaiah, I won't let you be overwhelmed. I'll be there. I'll be there for you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, who comes in like a flood? God to destroy your life? No. He is not a destroyer. He is a giver of life. So there are people in this room who you are going through hard times right now, and you need to cry out to God right now. There are people in this room who have never cried out to God before in your life, and you need him to save you from your sins. You need him to deliver you, or you need some healing in your body. Or you might just need healing from your past and all the bitterness that you've carried, either maybe toward him for the bad things that have happened in your life. And you thought, you know what, I've maintained bitterness toward God for 30 years for what happened way back when. I got to stop playing to the enemy. Well, I want to give you a chance right now to deal with that. So we have some hand-picked volunteers who I want to come up right now. They're going to be standing right here at the front. And if you need to cry out to God, you're just going to walk up to these people. You're going to grab somebody and say, hey, here's how I need to cry out to God right now. And just say what that is. And these people will just agree with you and say, let's cry out to God together. They're not going to give you their opinion or lay some big advice on you. They're just going to cry out to God with you. That's it. And you can start coming right now and get somebody to pray for you. I want to sing that chorus again. And I'd like for you to try that with me, if you would. Put on the garments of praise, for spirit of heaviness. Let the oil of gladness flow down from your throne. Put on the garments of praise, for spirit of heaviness.
Your joy is my strength alone, my strength alone.
I know that there are a lot of you who you have trouble, or you've seen trouble, and you're just not ready or willing to pray with somebody about it. I understand that. And I don't condemn you for the spot that you're in. But one thing I would encourage you to do is to think about to think about whether you believe that God is good or not. It's going to be really important to you when you do run into trouble. I'm going to sing this again.
Put on the garments of praise, for spirit of heaviness. Let the oil of gladness flow down from your throne. Put on the garments of praise, for spirit of heaviness. Your joy is my strength alone, my strength alone.
This is my wife, Dora, who walked through all of this year with me. And I wanted to show you guys the end of our story. Would you like to see Joy now? She looks like this. She's in the pink pants. Here she comes. There she is. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? God's healed her, and he's healing us, and he's teaching us to cry out to him. So I'm going to have Dora just, would we all stand up? And I'm going to have Dora just pray for us and pray for you guys as we become more and more people who are just determined to cry out to God.
God, I just bless every single person in here with faith. Faith that you are good no matter what. In times of trouble, you are good. In times of happiness, you are good. I just bless them that they would believe that in the bottom of their heart, from the bottom of their soul, that they would believe the goodness of God, that they would see the silver lining in every situation, and you are the silver lining. So I just bless every single one in here with the faith to see in your circumstances that God loves you, that he is with you, that he is faithful, and that he is on your side. We are in a war, and you have a deliverer on your side. I just bless you that you would believe that and go out into the world and know that he is faithful and he is good and he is on your side. Just bless you.